Well, let's open our Bibles this evening, talking about Christ the healer. And I want to walk through some scriptures this evening. Open your Bibles to, want to look at this scripture that we looked at Sunday. Just to touch on this again, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, 10 and 11 and 12. And we were looking at the covenant that we have with God through the shed blood of Jesus. And you can start, I guess, well, they've started already. I'm starting. But reading in verse 9, it says, much more than being what? Now justified. So we're justified when? Now. By what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Isn't that an interesting thing, looking at that? I just stop for a moment. I'm looking at that in the light of what these current events are going on. This says here that we're justified by his blood. What? The blood. And we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that means it's talking about any kind of negative wrath to come. It's not going to come on the church. So here, right here, if you just looked at it and said from a spiritual standpoint, if I just take that scripture and plead the blood, we shall be saved from any wrath that would try to come on this property or you, right? By how? The blood of Jesus says here that we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. So our trust, that's why it's so important. You get these things lodged down. It's life and health. It's all of our flesh. It's medicine. So here, continuing, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So we can see here, this is how sickness entered into this earth realm. It entered in by what? By sin. And it said here, it said sin entered into the world, and then what? Death. By what? By sin. So sickness came in by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you can see here that since disease entered in, this is what we were pointing out Sunday, since disease entered in by sin, then its remedy has got to be found through or in the redemption of Christ. It's got to be found in this redemption that we have, this atonement that we have, this covenant that we have through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And you can see, which we did, I'm not going to go back through this. You can just get the message or download it. But we walked through and we saw if that healing, when followed, when all of the requirements of the law were followed, healing was provided for his people in the Old Testament. When they missed it and they got out of sorts, they got in trouble. You can see over when the plague killed almost, what was it, 14,000, some over 14,000, but Aaron, as the priest, stood in the gap and stayed the plague. So you can see that healing was provided. Well, we have a better covenant. And so this is what we were pointing out on Sunday. But let's, and then of course we were looking at Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. And I made a point on Sunday that the Word of God cannot be health to either your soul or your body before it is heard and received and then what? Attended to or acted upon. So you've got to first hear it. You've got to receive it, attend to it. It's got to not depart from thine eyes. It's got to be kept in the midst of your heart. You got to meditate upon it. And then like Joshua says, you'll make your way prosperous in everything you do. So when God's word becomes health to all your flesh, sickness and disease has to go. It'll be gone. So now I want to look at something today and ask this question. And of course, you already know this, but it's good to have this settled in your own heart. And that is the question, is healing for all? And we know that it is, but it's good to, you know, when you're convinced of something, you know, it's great when we're all, I say it this way, it's great when we're all feeling good and everything's good, but when there's some pressure going on and you're not feeling too good or a doctor gives you a report, then thoughts start coming and stuff comes, and then a thought could come, well, maybe it's not God's will. Now, I know you're smarter than that, but but when there's pressure, thoughts do come. I wonder. No, you can't wonder. It's got to be so settled, you're convinced. When you're convinced, then you know. You know it's God's will, right? So when we look at the church, when we're not talking about just this church, but when we look at the church in general, and we look across the church spectrum, that question may not be a resounding yes. Some will say, well, I know God can heal, but is it his will for everybody? And I think that one has to be convinced of that. And that's the key. In other words, we know God heals some. We know that. You turn on the news and they'll have reports about that. God healed this person. Or he raised this person, or they came back from heaven. We know God heals some. But does he heal all? Is it all? Is it the will of God to heal all? Well, one could just stop and say in 1 Timothy 2, when it says that this is the will of God, that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He didn't say some men. He said all be saved. So that if it's the will of God for all to be saved, then it must be the will of God for all to be healed. Right? So, we're not going to spend the time. I think we just want to look at this particular facet. Is it God's will to heal all? Now, there can be, and we're not going to discuss it in this lesson, there could be some hindrances to you receiving it, but it's God's will that you do or are healed. See, and this is what F.F. Bosworth goes through in his book, Christ the Healer. He talks about hindrances to healing, but that's got nothing to do with God's will for you to be healed. Right? Big difference. So let's answer this question. All of this has to start with someone knowing that it's God's will to heal them. Because one cannot have faith that it's God's will unless they know his will, right? So you couldn't get a sinner to believe that it's God's will for them to be made right with them unless they knew it was God's will. And it would have to be preached and revealed, right, from the Word of God. So the same thing here, that you can't, you know, there has to be a knowledge of the Word that has to be shared. Faith must rest on what? What the will of God is. Faith begins, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth and all of them, they said, faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where faith begins. It has to begin with knowing what the will of God is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Faith has to be God will. It's for me. You know, if I came in, we've used this example before, if I came in and I said, okay, it's my will to give everybody in here $1,000, you wouldn't need faith for that, right? You wouldn't need faith for that because I said, I'm going to give you this. But if I said some, I'm going to give some, how would you know whether or not it's you? See, and that's the problem where some say, well, God will heal some. How do you have faith for that? How do you know you're one of the some that will be healed? You don't know. So it's the same thing here. We need to know from the Word of God that it is exactly God's will to heal us every time. So let's take a look. I want to just take a look here in Mark chapter 1. I want to take a look at this because if you go through the scriptures and you look at all the accounts of Jesus healing, this is Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, starting at 40, 41, and 42. But if you look at Jesus' entire earthly ministry, there's only one account where this leper came up and asked him, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. No other accounts do you have. This is it, just this one. And what did Jesus say? I will, be thou clean. So he answered what his will is. Right? Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And what did Jesus say when he was here? He said, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So we know what the will of the Father is. It's to heal all, not some, everybody. And so you can see here that Jesus changed his if. He said, if, and he said, I will. So he changed his if to an I, did he? He responded. He said, if it be thy will, he said, no, I will. No question here about it. I'm going to read, this is something we read Sunday in Exodus. Just a reminder here, it's in Exodus 23, 25, and 26, and it said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall do what? Bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Now let's turn to Luke 40. And let's look at the Gospels for a moment. Let's look at Jesus' ministry. Luke chapter 40. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. And let's just see how many in Jesus' ministry, let's see how many were healed. It's good to do that. It says now, verse 40, starting in verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all they that had what? Any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on what? Every one of them and healed them. Or you could say he healed what? Every one of them. In verse 41, it says, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now let's jump over to Matthew 8 and verse 17. Matthew 8, verse 17. And let's start reading in verse 14. Matthew 8, starting in verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he did what? He touched her hand, and the fever left, and she arose and ministered unto them. Verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Now, why did he do that? See, this is what we have to look at. When we go back and we look at Isaiah 53, and it said that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So here, you can see here, that he healed all, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So he could not exclude one, because it was paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was paid by his shed blood. So not one could be excluded. It couldn't have been. Why? Because of the atonement. So the word here, you can see here when it says himself took our infirmities, that word our really means everybody. It means we or us. It's all inclusive when it says our. So it required the healing of all to fulfill the prophecy. Had to be. And here's the wonderful thing about this. This is not only on this particular occasion, but it's on every occasion since then. Because it's all inclusive. It's his word is what? Eternal. Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did then, he's doing now. What did he say in Malachi 3:6? He said, I am the Lord, I do what? I change not. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from heaven above, or from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Now let's back up to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Starting in verse 23. And Jesus went about how much of Galilee? All of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Well, you could put right after that all, because it was all. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now let's jump over to Matthew 9. Just looking through the Gospels. Matthew 9, 23. We're answering the question, is healing for all? And we know it is, but we're going to look at the scripture and just solidify it here. Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching," what? "The gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with," what? "Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he," and I'm going to continue down to verse 1 in chapter 10, "then saith he unto" who? "His disciples." Why did he do that? You can see here in verse 36, he said, because he saw the what? The multitudes. And he had compassion. He couldn't do it all. So he said, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." And verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Not some. This was his will. And that means when we commissioned as the church to go lay hands on the sick, it's not some sicknesses and some diseases. It's all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Not some. Now let's look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12, and let's look at verse 15. Well, let's back up to 14. Matthew 12 and verse 14 and 15. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." All were healed. And again, here you can go back down and charge them that they should not make him known. Verse 17. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying." And so here you can see similar, same thing, right? Same thing. Matthew 14. Let's turn over to Matthew 14. And we'll look at verse 14. Actually, let's just back up to 13. Matthew 14, 13 and 14. "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." That must have been a sight. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was" what? "Moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." That means all. And let's look at verse 34, starting in 34. same chapter. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him who? All that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Hallelujah. So you can see here, all were brought, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and all were healed. As many as touched the hem of his garment. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. Luke 6, 17. Let's back up to 12, read the context of it. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And continue in 18 and 19. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Now listen, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Healed them all. Now, let's turn back to Mark. I want to look at something here. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And this is the account of the boy with the spirit, dumb spirit, and the disciples not able to cast him out. But I want to make a point here. Look at this in verse 14, starting in 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation," or you could say unbelieving generation, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And of course, we know, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And what did he do? Jesus rebuked the spirit, and it left. So we can see here that Jesus' healing of this boy, you can see here that his healing exhibited the will of God, didn't it? It had nothing to do, and the failure of the disciples was really more on their unbelief and not the will of God. Because we can see Jesus got in the mix of that, and what did he do? He said, if you believe, he said, nothing's impossible. And he then spoke and cast the demon out, so we know that was the will of God. So when the disciples said, well, he had already commissioned them. He gave them power over all spirits, all diseases, all sicknesses, so they had the power to do that. He commissioned them. So at that point, Jesus could have said, well, I guess, hey, I don't know what to tell you. But what did he do? He said, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? So he said, if you believe, nothing's impossible. And so he spoke. And what did he do? He commanded the spirit to leave, and it did. So we can see here, it is the will of God. We can see here, just in these few accounts in the gospel, that where all were brought, Jesus healed them. And he did what? He healed all. And really, when you think about it, how many people, and just think about this, if they brought everybody that was sick and diseased, can you imagine just grabbing people and saying, come on, Jesus is going to heal you. Now, they had to have some faith, I guess, but what if you were an unlucky person and he just laid hands on you and he healed all, right? Even the ones that may not have believed. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says he laid hands on all and healed all. We don't know where their faith was. It says he healed all. Now let's take a look just for a few minutes in the Acts of the Apostles. Let's go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And let's look at verse 12, starting in verse 12. So here you can see Jesus now is ascended. He's now positioned at the right hand of the Father. And so he's done what? He's commissioned the church to continue the work that he started. But let's look at verse 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed, everyone. Everyone. So here you can see this is a continuation of God's body, of Christ's body, doing the same work he did here in this earth. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're to continue this work. Acts chapter 10. Let's look at Acts 10. We're looking at is healing for all. Acts chapter 10, verse starting in verse 34. And you can look at this here, this chapter, but just starting here, how many years Peter was with the master for what? 3 years. And we can see there must have had an impact on Peter. And what happened here in verse 34? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which Jesus preached. Look at verse 38. This is Peter. It's Peter letting it go here. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing some, healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Glory to God. So here you see Peter. He traveled with the master for 3 years. He saw that he healed all because he was anointed of God and God was with him. And now we've been commissioned by the head of the church to go out and make disciples of all men, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. We're to continue the work that Jesus started, are we not? Hallelujah. Now let's look at the end of the book. Let's look in chapter 28 of Acts. Now this is some 30 years after the ascension. Let's look at verse, starting in verse 7. Acts 28 and verse 7. So this is after the shipwreck. They're on the isle of Melita, or actually it's Malta. I know Tony Cook was there recently. He was showing pictures from Malta, which was just off the island of Crete, in the middle of the Mediterranean. Verse 7, and in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. Let me read it over here. Who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Look at verse 9. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. You could say all. Because I can tell you, read it in the Weymouth translation. This is what it says. Now in the same part of the island, there were estates belonging to the governor, whose name was Publius. He welcomed us to his house and for 3 days generously made us his guests. It happened, however, that his father was lying ill of dysentery, aggravated by attacks of fever. So Paul went to see him, and after praying, laid his hands on him and cured him. Now, verse 9, this is in the Weymouth translation. After this, all the other sick people in the island came and were cured. Glory to God. What did Brother Hagin say when he was alive? He said, healing is the dinner bell. He used to say that. Healing is the dinner bell. And it is. So what happened? You can see it here. when he healed Publius's father, it got broadcast on the island. Hey, there's a man here that can heal. And they brought everybody that was sick, and they were healed. And I'm believing for the same thing here, that healing and demonstrations of God's healing power will be broadcast, not just in this church. It's not about this church. It's about the body of Christ. Any church preaching the gospel, that healings and deliverances are commonplace, so that, because here's the thing, the healing power, how many realize this? The healing power is present all the time, everywhere. And faith draws that healing power. Amen. Glory to God. So here we just looked at a few instances, and we can see here, just in these few accounts, we can see that it's God's will. Jesus was God's purpose and demonstration here in the earth. He demonstrated God's will here in the earth. He came to do his will, not his will. He came to do the will of the Father who sent him. So he was the demonstration of the Father's will. And what did he do? He healed all that were sick and diseased. That's the same today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of changing. He doesn't change. What his will was then is the same now. It's the same in the future. So the more we meditate in the Word, the more we read these verses of Scripture, get them down in our heart, then it's going to cause a mighty anchor. So that when things come, you'll know it is God's will for me to be healed. Now, God is going to direct you as to how and the method, but the Word of God is solid in your heart. Whatever path he directs you to follow, whatever that path is, that's the path. Always remember this. The Spirit of God is always going to lead you into what? Victory. He's going to lead you in a direction that's going to bring victory in your life. Maybe different for every person, that particular path and method. But the key is, keep speaking. That's why I'm so keen on meditating in the Word of God, getting faith stirred, getting the faith of God in our hearts, and then doing what? Releasing faith with our words. Faith is released with your words. What does it say to Bible? The Bible says the devils believe. You can believe, but if you don't release what you believe in your words, faith is dormant. Faith has to be released with your words. That's why it's important to keep saying, it is God's will for me to be healed. The healing power of God is in me, working in me, driving out every sickness and disease in my body, working in me now, strengthening my body, strengthening every cell, strengthening every part of my body. Every organ is stronger every day. I'm bright. Don't say I'm getting older. I don't remember. No. Don't say that. I'm bright. I'm sharp. Every cell of my body works and is stronger and stronger and stronger. If we continue to say those things, God will lead us. He may have us make corrections in natural things we're doing. But he also, the Word of God, is the power of God. And I like what Pastor Hagin said. It's the natural and the supernatural coming together to make an explosive force for God. So it's the spiritual things that we do coming together with the natural things that we do that causes change. So I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm getting stronger and stronger every day. I'm not getting weaker. I'm getting brighter and brighter every day. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't it good to know that God's will is that I'm to be whole and strong and prosperous, and it's already been paid for. All I have to do is receive it. And that's what I like that the healing tape that a Sister Aloma gave me, which just has blessed me, from Doug Jones. And that revelation that God was giving him, being over the prayer and healing school for so many years and teaching on the subject of healing, you learn some things. The Holy Ghost reveals things to you. And so just doing that, but he was sharing something about what Brother Hagin revealed or shared here at this church. In that message, he was sharing how Brother Hagin was ministering to somebody here, he said, in Nanuet in 1990. And I thought, man, I got some of those tapes. I'm going to go back and listen to them. He couldn't find the audio, but he had a transcript of it. And he said, and he read all of it, and he said that Brother Hagin said to this couple that he ministered to with their child, he said, keep the switch of faith turned on. And what Brother Doug Jones said is, he said, this is what the switch of faith is. He said, the switch of faith is that you have to believe that you received it, and you also have to believe that it's in you working now. He said, if you miss any of those two, you turn the switch off. If you don't believe you received it, then how could you believe it's working in you? Can't. He said, you could believe that you've received it, but you don't believe it's working in you. Turn the switch off. So you've got to believe that you've received the power of God. What is that? My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy what? Thy heart. You've received them, and those that know they've received them, they're what? They're life and health. So they're in me, they're in my heart. The life of God, the health, the healing of God is in me, but now it's what? It's got to be working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. Hallelujah. So these are things that they may sound basic, but this is the things that will get you over, not just in your health, it'll get you over in every area of your life. You've got to believe that the Word of God is in, lodged in my heart, and it's doing what? It's working, it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working. I mean, that's what I'm doing. That's why I would go to heaven, because the voice of God is so clear to me. I know his voice. Now, sometimes you have to wait on him, and sometimes he doesn't speak in a still small, sometimes it's just a sense. But I heard his voice. The first building we're going to take is the Sears building. I'd go to my grave knowing that. I know it. I heard him. I heard him tell me, go get the tape out of Brother Dr. Price in 1990. Go pull that tape and listen to it. I know his voice. I heard him. And I listened to that tape. But I'm going to tell you, who was it? Brother Kevin Clark sent me another email. He said, Sears may not make it to the end of this year. He said they're closing another 50 stores. They got no more money. The first building that we're going to take is the Sears building. I don't know why. It's comfortable here. It's nice here. It's all paid for. I have no idea. But Dr. Price said that this place is too small. That means God's heart is for people. It's not just to be comfy and be nice. It's like what I like Mike Keyes. We're trying as hard as we can to reach people, and they've reached 750 million, want to hit a million. That's what I like. You keep stretching. You keep, not for you, it's for the people out there that are hurting. It's the people that are not, don't know this good word. And that's what it's for. So he's got something in mind that's bigger. And so sometimes what we're learning here is so that we can be what? Trained up in such a way that we can go out into the hedges and highways, lay hands on the sick, and see them healed, see them restored, and share this good news with them. Amen? Not to be quiet. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life and health and strength to our bodies. Thank you that we're stronger every day. Thank you that this life, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is quickening these mortal bodies, strengthening them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for everyone seated here. Thank you that as they leave, we thank you, Father, that no accident or incident. Thank you that angelic protection surrounds them. Thank you that everything they do is blessed. And Satan, I bind you and I plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And you shall not touch them with sickness and disease. I demand that you take your hands off of these bodies in the name of Jesus. I call everyone whole and prosperous and healed in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.